Welcome to TechNet Radio, your guide to the IT universe.
Hey there, welcome back to TechNet Radio. I'm Aurora Queen, and this is our show for Tuesday, March 20th, 2007. Thanks for joining me today, and happy spring. Today we're talking about a tool that's included with the Vista operating system called Windows Meeting Space. This is a great collaboration tool. Kevin Remdy talks with Todd Mannion about not only the features within Meeting Space, but the architecture that supports it. And after the interview, I'll wrap it up with some information on URLs and webcasts for you. Here's Todd Mannion speaking with Kevin Remdy on TechNet Radio.
Hello, everybody. This is Kevin, and I'm talking with Todd Mannion. Todd Mannion is a program manager at Microsoft, and let him tell a little bit more about himself and what he does with Microsoft.
Well, thank you very much. Good afternoon. My name is Todd Mannion, and I am a program manager at Microsoft in the Windows Networking Division. Specifically, I work on and I'm responsible for the Windows Meeting Space scenario and also the Network Projector scenario from a Windows Networking perspective. So if you go to the Start menu and choose All Programs, Windows Meeting Space, or go Start menu, All Programs, Accessories, Connect to a Network Projector, I work on both those projects.
Okay, now wait a minute. I'm running XP. I don't see Windows Meeting Space anywhere on my PC. What's up with that?
Well, that's one of the great things that with Vista, what it allows us to do is be able to introduce new experiences that provide tremendous value for our end users. And that's exactly what Windows Meeting Space is. It's a new experience that takes advantage of some of the state-of-the-art technologies that we have in Windows Vista, such as our new peer grouping technologies and the new people near me technologies, and utilizing the new client FSR technologies or the terminal services app sharing technologies to create a great new experience that helps enhance meetings and your overall meeting experience.
Okay, so this is a Vista. This is a new Vista tool. It's included with the operating system for that kind of collaboration.
Right. You got it. That's right.
Okay, super. Now, is it live meeting though? I mean, I've heard live meeting certainly is Office and it's collaboration. It's collaboration with a lot of people. How does it compare?
Well, that's a great question. It's actually one that I get at pretty much every talk that I give. It's how does Windows Meeting Space compare to live meeting? And it really differs based off of three major points. The first is the overall use scenario that we're targeting. Live meeting is a great tool for being able to enhance or even allow you to conduct remote meetings. So people are in disparate parts of the country and or maybe across the entire world. You still want to be able to meet with those individuals. Live meeting is a great tool. Windows Meeting Space is really focused on face-to-face collaboration and in helping enhance your in-room meeting experience. You know, currently today, a lot of us bring our laptops to meetings, and wouldn't it be great if we had an easy way of being able to project slides to other folks or be able to share things without having to maybe use a USB key fob? That's really what Windows Meeting Space targets as far as scenarios. The other two major differences are is that live meeting is really about scalability. It scales from about 2 to 2,500 people, whereas Windows Meeting Space is really about those intimate kind of settings. It scales from about 2 to 10 individuals. Finally, live meeting gets you some great Office integration, and that's something that is available to you via the live communication server and client or via maybe programs such as Outlook. Windows Meeting Space does a great job of integrating with other Windows experiences such as People Near Me, the Windows Contacts, and also the Windows Mail systems as well.
Okay, and also live meeting, you know, costs something to use versus Meeting Space, which is just included as part of the operating system as well. So.
That's exactly right. I often like to liken Windows Meeting Space to the notepad of meetings, whereas, you know, live meeting is the word of meetings. So,
good, good. Now, you really did a great demo here. You got a couple of machines up on the table here. You played two different roles. You showed us how these machines were able to see each other. And it took advantage of something that was, you know, looking at who's near me, you know, this near me idea. Talk a little bit about that. What is that about?
Yeah, so with Windows Vista, one of the new technologies that we've worked on is the, like you said, the concept of near me. And basically that near me definition right now with Vista is who's on my local subnet. With this technology, it's very cool. You can do some very cool things. The first thing that you can do is that you can log in and publish your presence on the local subnet for others to discover. The second thing that you can do is enumerate and actually list out all the different people who are publishing their presence on the local subnet. And then finally, what you can do after that is if somebody has an activity such as Windows Meeting Space that's registered on their system, you can invite them to participate in that activity They get a little toast, and they can choose to accept your invitation. Now, that's very cool for things, maybe a program like a chat program, or another great one is games. You know, how do we actually do that? Or maybe you've got some kind of other productivity application, maybe akin to Windows Meeting Space, that you want to take advantage of this technology in. It's very powerful and very cool.
That is cool. Now, is that enabled by default, or is that something that someone has to turn on in Windows Vista?
It is not enabled by default. You have to turn it on. As part of launching the Windows Meeting Space experience, we actually go ahead and ask you if it's okay if we enable that. Since we take advantage of it, we'll turn it on if you start to use us, if you allow us to. But if you want to use it otherwise, you can just simply go to the control panel and choose to start it and enable it from there.
Okay, good. Now, you did a great demo also about document collaboration. Talk a little bit about how that is set up and what kind of power people have for working with shared documents in this scenario.
Yeah, Windows Meeting Space is completely geared towards collaboration. It's really all about how do we do two major collaborative activities, and that is how do we share files, how do we make edits to those files and make sure everybody keeps their edits in sync, and then how do we actually show or maybe project those files to other people's screens and laptops? How many times have you been in a meeting where you've thought to yourself, hey, I'd love to show you this slide that I have or this document that I have, and then you turn your laptop around and you start showing it to the other individual? That's kind of silly. You know, if we both have laptops, shouldn't I just be able to project my screen to you? Windows Meeting Space really allows you to do that. Or how many times have you sat in a meeting and you've used a USB key fob to transfer a file around? I know I've done it, and you know, I thought to myself, this is kind of silly. My laptop has a network connection. How come I just can't share the file with you really easily? You know, that's what Meeting Space enables. It allows you to easily share programs or your desktop with other Windows Meeting Space participants. It allows you to easily share files with those other participants. And any updates that are made as a result of a collaboration on one of those files in the file sharing area get replicated back around to the other users, so everybody has a copy that's in sync at the end of the meeting.
Wow, that sounds great. Now, tell me a little bit more about the architecture that supports this whole thing. I mean, you know, is it just a do you all have to be on the wired LAN? Can you is there any other special protocols? Maybe you want to talk a little bit about the security of these kind of sessions. It's a big question, I know, but if you could give it to me in 20 words or less, that'd be great.
Well, I don't know if I can give you that small of an answer, but you know, I'll go ahead and try. The Windows Meeting Space experience is actually built on three major technologies. The first is our peer-to-peer collaboration services technologies. The second is our distributed file replication services technologies, or DFSR. And the third is the terminal services technologies that allow us to be able to share applications. The peer-to-peer communications services allows us to do those people near me things and provides a way of keeping the metadata in sync between the participants. The DFSR technology actually replicates the files around and replicates those edits and changes to the other individuals. And the terminal services technology allows us to project the application or the desktop and hand control back and forth utilizing their technologies. And then, of course, this is all built on top of IPv6, the networking stack within Vista. As far as the security goes, the gateway to entry into one of these meeting space sessions is a password. And once you're inside of the session, all the data between the participants is encrypted utilizing the standard SSL technologies, making sure that only people who are in the actual Windows meeting space can view the data that's flowing freely between the participants.
Okay, excellent. So it's X.509 SSL, and you mentioned IPv6. Now, of course, that probably set off a lot of flags in people when they're listening to this and going, wait a minute, I'm not running IPv6, am I? And if I am, well, what am I going to have to do to get people going? Now, you know, within a subnet, that makes sense, but you know, what are some of the issues I might have to overcome in terms of getting IPv6 going?
Yeah, so IPv6 is the future and of IP connectivity, and Microsoft is fully standing behind the IPv6 scenario. That's the reason why in Vista, IPv6 is on by default. And that's the reason why Windows Meeting Space actually took a dependency on IPv6, is because of some of the advantages it got us as far as performance goes, the ability to address any node on the internet or across the corporate infrastructure, and also some of the major security advantages that we know IT administrators are going to get because of using IPv6. Now, like you said, some people might be freaking out going, oh, IPv6, I don't have IPv6 in my corporation. The good news is that if you don't have IPv6, you can still use Windows Meeting Space. Since Vista has IPv6 enabled in the stack by default, it simply allows you to be able to conduct those meetings on your same local subnet. If you wanted to be able to conduct meetings with maybe somebody who isn't on your local subnet, you would need a global IPv6 address. Luckily, Microsoft makes this really easy to attain by including something called an ISATAP server, ISATAP server, for IPv6 on Windows Server 2003. It's very similar to a DHCP server where it just assigns an IPv6 address upon client boot, and you can configure what ISATAP server you want your Windows Vista clients to point to based off a group policy. For more information on how to enable one of these ISATAP servers, please, I encourage you to feel free to check out the Windows Meeting Space step-by-step guide. Just search for it on MSN search, and you'll find it really easily on the Microsoft website. And it gives you links and more information about IPv6, how does Windows Meeting Space use IPv6, and how you can set up an IPv6 solution such as ISATAP within inside of your corporation.
And for those outside the corporation, then, I mean, don't necessarily need ISATAP, but what about the home user? What are they going to do for that?
Windows Meeting Space is really focused on how do we enable better productivity inside of meetings. But as such, we still utilize the IPv6 technologies outside of the corporate setting as well. So Microsoft has actually developed and deployed a technology called Teredo, which allows users on the internet to receive IPv6 addresses for their endpoint in machines, and very similar to the way ISATAP assigns addresses to machines within inside of the corporation, Teredo assigns addresses to actual home users. Windows Meeting Space is able to work across that. It depending on your network link and the performance, though, might be interesting.
Okay, yeah, that's a good answer. Now, for the organizations, going back to that, and for a large organization in particular, what do you recommend or what's available to IT administrators for the sake of rolling this out or configuring? Is it something that you have to do machine by machine, or can I use group policy to configure this?
That's a great question. We actually have a lot of rich group policy controls and respect a lot of other group policy controls that are in the system. We have group policy controls that allow you to turn off the entire feature, that allow you to turn off different parts of the infrastructure, such as the file sharing area. We have a group policy that allows you to control exactly how complex the password needs to be. That actual group policy is actually tied to your domain policy. So if you want to, and that's on by default, to be honest with you. So if your domain requires strong passwords, then the Windows Meeting Space will require strong passwords. We pay attention to the attachment execution services, group policy list of file types that can't be shared. So if you can't share a file, you know, say through an email client such as Outlook, right, you can't send a .exe around, you won't be able to send that around with Windows Meeting Space as well. We pay attention to your wireless group policies as well, so that, you know, if you can't run an ad hoc wireless network with inside of your corporation, then you won't be able to use the ad hoc wireless features of Windows Meeting Space either. So a lot of great group policy controls. Again, I encourage you to check out our step-by-step guide, and it lists exactly how you can manage the feature in a much more easy and efficient way.
Actually, that brings up a point I don't think that we made really clear in this talk, and that is the fact that it's not requiring a wired connection. I mean, this is a huge benefit of the meeting space, is the fact that you can set up these very easy ad hoc wireless connections and associations, because that's essentially what people are doing. They're going in wireless, right, to a meeting.
Yeah, that's exactly right. I mean, how many times have you been at a partner site where you can't get on their network, but you would still like to share information with them? Or maybe you're at an airport and there's no hotspot available, and you still like to be able to collaborate with a colleague. Windows Meeting Space allows you to do this. We actually take advantage of the ad hoc wireless natures and properties of wireless cards to enable you to create a meeting, associate it with an ad hoc wireless network, and then be able to look for meetings that are going on nearby and just join that meeting that's occurring on the ad hoc wireless network. So during the normal connectivity flow of starting a meeting or joining a meeting, we'll actually create and join the proper wireless network so that you can continue to collaborate even if you don't have an internet connection.
Okay, very good. Now, I'm running XP. This sounds really great. I want to be able to do this. Can I do this with Windows XP? Or is this going to be something that's just limited to Vista?
Right now, we're utilizing a lot of the new state-of-the-art technologies on Windows Vista in order to achieve this experience. So it is available on Windows Vista only, as there are a lot of great, powerful tools on Windows Vista that we take advantage of.
Okay, and if I'm having trouble with troubleshooting this, let's say, I've got Vista running the beta, I want to play with this, but I'm having some issues. What troubleshooting tips do you have for us?
Well, you know, the first troubleshooting tip is see if there's connectivity between the two IP addresses. Remember, we use those IPv6 addresses, so there might be, you need to check out whether or not you have connectivity at the global IPv6 level or just at the link local IPv6 level. But see if you've got connectivity between those two machines. In other words, can I ping the two machines from each other? The second thing is there anything blocking the connectivity, right? Check your firewall configuration. Is it configured properly in order to allow meeting space traffic through, or do we need to make some minor adjustments to the firewall? The third thing is are we on the same subnet? So Windows Meeting Space is all about, you know, subnet collaboration. And so if you don't have a global IPv6 address and maybe you got a subnet-based IPv6 address, make sure you guys are both on the same subnet. You may be plugged into different routers or maybe different access points that doesn't allow multicast traffic to pass through between the two of them. And then finally, just take a look at your network topology. Is there anything that might be preventing communication between the two clients? The last thing I encourage you to do is check out, again, our step-by-step guide that's out on the web. It's got a lot of great troubleshooting and some really in-depth advanced troubleshooting to make sure that you can easily get this program and experience up and working with inside of your corporation.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question. Any additional resources? And I have seen those step-by-step guides. They're excellent. I know that this one is that way as well. So search for the step-by-step guide on Meeting Space and on what other keywords can they use to find that, or any other additional resources you can point us to?
Yeah. So if you're on utilizing MSN search or live search, then I encourage you to try and look for Windows Meeting Space step-by-step guide. I also encourage you to check out our website at www.microsoft.com/P2P, as in the letter P, the number 2, and then letter P again. And then you can also learn more about our partner teams, such as IPv6 at www.microsoft.com/IPv6. Those are great resources. I encourage you to check out exactly what you can do with Windows Meeting Space, what you can do with the peer-to-peer platform, and what you can do with IPv6 with inside of your corporations.
Okay, Todd Mannion. Well, thank you very much for this time.
Thank you very much.
Kevin Remde and Todd Mannion on TechNet Radio. I put the links that Todd was referring to there at the end of the conversation up on our site, microsoft.com/TNradio. I also put a link up there to an on-demand webcast that Todd presented, and that's an MSDN webcast titled An In-Depth Look at Collaboration Features in Windows Vista, and that's level 200. In this webcast, you'll get a detailed technical look at collaboration features in the Windows Vista operating system. You'll learn how Windows Meeting Space enables a group of up to 10 people in the same room to project desktops or applications to other participants, share a file with the group in a common work area, and jointly edit the file. They'll also discuss group policy configuration options for Windows Vista collaboration scenarios and highlight partner business opportunities involving APIs and hardware. So if you want to hear more from Todd, check out that webcast. And again, I put the link up to that on our site, microsoft.com/TNradio, or you can always visit microsoft.com/webcasts. For Vista webcasts, virtual labs, and podcasts, check out the URL microsoft.com/events/series/TechNetVista.aspx. Remember, my email is tnradio@microsoft.com. I always enjoy your feedback and suggestions, or you can also call our listener line. Thanks so much for tuning in today. I look forward to next week. I'm Aurora Queen for TechNet Radio.
Have comments or want to request a story idea? Call us at 1-877-814-6506.